is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Israel attacked by Iran. The headlines are alarming, but they speak to the moment. IDF destroys launchers in Gaza is the Jerusalem Post in these last days, hours. And 18 hurt, one critically, as Hezbollah drone hits community center in the north of Israel. We also have news about the hostages, Hamas. However, we will begin with Iran and what we know about the attack, the defense, and now the debate over what is to be done. I welcome Jonathan Shanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's in Tel Aviv. Jonathan, I begin with the attack on Saturday night because what we saw here were images of interceptions way overhead of Jerusalem. It was hard to say where exactly they were intercepted. Could have been over Syria, could have been over Lebanon. However, seeing the Blue Mosque profile with interceptions in the air was shocking. At the same time, since then, there have been debates in all instances as to what Iran wanted to achieve. We had news yesterday of Raisi, the president of Iran, calling Moscow to talk to Vladimir Putin. There was also a report that Wang Yi, the foreign minister, the foreign secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, remarked that he believed that Iran could handle, could manage the turmoil. All of this leads to fog of war. So a very good day to you. Thank you for this. Right now, we're focusing on what is to be done. The word retaliation, the word response, the word answer. Is it your understanding that Israel will respond and that that response is, what is the word they're using now? Proportionate. Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. That is all that anyone is talking about here in Israel right now, exactly how the IDF should respond without escalating. Because, of course, the administration is deeply fearful of allowing this to deteriorate, to perhaps even turn into a world war or some other catastrophe. And so they're asking the Israelis to figure out ways to calibrate their response. The Israelis are saying that they have really no choice but to strike back as good as Iran gave it as a means to establish deterrence. Deterrence, of course, is a slippery word. It's a psychological framing for this. And I don't know if it's the strategic response that's necessary from the Israelis. And really, the choices right now boil down to two, as I see it. There is that Israel could fire back overwhelmingly and do damage to the regime and perhaps get the regime to think twice about future attacks and not let this become the norm. The other primary choice is to work with the United States to try to solidify the regional alliances that were on full display the other night. You got to remember, you saw the Brits scramble jets from Larnaca in Cyprus. The French were operating over the skies of Syria. The Saudis reportedly took down two weapons that had been fired by Iran. The Jordanians took some down, and of course the Israelis and the Americans. So it was a pretty impressive, formidable display of missile defense. The problem is that it's just not enough. No one wins games just playing defense. And the Israelis are saying, well, if you want us to not do this, what else can you offer? So the things that I think need to be discussed now, and really the ball is in America's court. The White House needs to think, okay, are we going to give them bunker busters? Are we going to lock in the Saudi-Israeli Abraham Accords agreement? Are they going to, for example, make a significant push for Hezbollah to move north of the Litani River after months and months of fighting and nothing has been done to stop that problem? There are things that America can do diplomatically. I think the Israelis will drive a hard bargain here because standing down is not what the IDF really wishes to do here. They see an opportunity because it's the first time in 40 plus years that the Iranian regime has come out from behind its proxies and shown itself to be the aggressor. This gives Israel at least the legitimacy to strike back and to perhaps even strike nuclear sites within Iran. And that is making the IDF salivate, to put it mildly.
Do all wars become one war? That phone call between Raisi and Putin. They wanted us to know about it. That's why they put it in the news. Is Russia a hand in this, Jonathan, as far as you can tell? Is Russia participating in some fashion?
Well, you know, we obviously, the Iranians fired some of the same drones that Russia has been using in its war in Ukraine. We know that that variant has been involved now in both fronts. We know that the Russians will come to Iran's aid should the United States try to bring Iran before the Security Council. And we know that the ongoing deals are probably helpful for Iran as it relates to the production of weaponry. And I would make this observation that if this turns into a war of attrition, Russia would become one of Iran's secret weapons. They would be able to provide cheap weapons that Israel would have to shoot down with very expensive ones. And that kind of war of attrition is one that Israel could ill afford. And so I would look for signs of Russian involvement consistently in the weeks and months ahead. It would be a dangerous sign indeed if they were working more closely together in a strategic way.
Retaliation. That doesn't suggest that's the end of the story. So looking out afterwards, presuming there will be a response, presuming there'll be a lot of diplomatic fencing afterwards, what does this mean that Iran fired from its soil? What does it mean to Israel that Iran turned a page? This is not business as usual. Where are they going, Jonathan?
Well, that's the question I have to say, John, that I've been asking here, and I don't know if I have received an answer. The way that Israelis here have been talking about this has been in terms of psychology, deterrence, making a point, scaring the Iranians, getting them to back down, having them understand certain principles, right? Or having the Israelis live by the rules of this particularly dangerous region. I have to say that this does strike me as a significant shift from what we have seen in years past. The regime seems to be taking risks that it has not taken before. They may smell blood in the water. They may feel that they need to do more. They may believe that they're being perceived as weak because their proxies have been getting beaten up. But they still hold a lot of cards, and they've got a lot of proxies that they can deploy. There are 5-6 fronts that they can turn hot very quickly, and we have not seen anything remotely close to saturation bombings from multiple fronts at the same time. We saw the other night with Iran and Hezbollah firing at the same time, but that was still, 300 is formidable, and it was 60,000 tons of explosive material hurtling into Israeli airspace, but it was enough to be managed. I wonder whether this was a test, whether they are right now probing the U.S.-led and Israeli defense systems to see whether there is enough capacity. But again, I need to point out here that the cost discrepancy for something like this is astronomical. You know, the Iranians are firing cheaply made, poorly made, inexpensive weapons, and the Israelis and the Americans and the Brits are putting expensive weaponry in the air, shooting them down with high-tech wizardry. This is not something that is sustainable, and I do wonder whether the other night marks a new page. There are, by the way, some people are saying that it marks a new page in Israel's legitimacy, that it now shows that Israel has been fighting against Iran the entire time and that world opinion may change to their favor. That may be true, but there also may be a parallel shift in strategy adopted by Iran. And so the other night could be one of the most consequential evenings in the Middle East. Certainly it was historic in terms of the sheer number of weapons that were fired and the amount of missile defense mounted and the coalition that formed very rapidly in order to address the threat. So I believe that we will look back on this moment in whether it's months or years and really, I think, look at it as an historic night in the Middle East.
Jonathan mentions two other conflicts and we must attend. Gaza and the north of Israel. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.